This week is Parshas Vayishlach, and we'll start our Shir, chapter 33, verse number 17. The Pasuk here is discussing Yaakov's encounter with Esav, how after Esav kissed Yaakov, Esav offers to go together with Yaakov. Yaakov refused. There it says that Esav went to his way to the land of Seir. And then the Pasuk says, Yaakov nosa sukoiso, Yaakov journeyed to Sukkos, va'even loy bois, and he built himself a house, ulemikneu oso sukois, and to his sheep, to his livestock, he made sukois, hats, alken koro shema mokoim sukois. Therefore, he called the name of the place Sukkos. Rashi, quoting the Gemara Megillah, explains that Shosham Yud Ches Chodesh, that Yaakov Avinu was in that place 18 months, kites, summer, v'choyrev, and winter, v'kites, and summer. And now Rashi explains, but we are going to give the simple interpretation on this Rashi. Sukkos, kites, the first Sukkos that's written, that is summer. So Sukkos, you use huts in the summer. And the simple interpretation is that because it's written that Yaakov nosa sukoiso, Yaakov went to Sukkos, then Sukkos is summer. Bais you use in the winter. And then it's written a second time Sukkos, again in the summer, because it's written Pelamikneo also Sukkos, and to the cattle and to the livestock he made Sukkos. Therefore we know that Yaakov Avinu was there 18 months. And that becomes specifically important because Yaakov Avinu was punished that he didn't see Yosef for 22 years because he did not do the mitzvah of Kibud Av, of honoring his father for 22 years. And if you make the count, we only find 20 years because he worked 7 years for Rachel. And then Rachel was switched to Leah. Then he worked another 7 years for Rachel. That's 14 years. And then he worked for 6 years for the cattle, as it's written in the end of Vayetzer, chapter 31, verse 38, where he says, Ze esrin shana nechimach, I'm already 20 years with you. Rechelecho beizecho loisikelo, that your ewes and your she-goat did not miscarry. Veletzoncho lecholtin, I did not eat the rams of your flock. Then we see clearly that Yaakov Avinu was 20 years at the house of Lavan. Then why was he punished for 22? According to the Gemara says that he was 1.5 years just in this place called Sukkos. We understand why he was punished, because he delayed doing the kibbut Avaim to his father. The Mizrahi is bothered by Rashi's interpretation, because Rashi says normally that he only comes to explain Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple interpretation of the Pasuk. And when there is more interpretations that don't fit the normal translation of the Pasuk, then Rashi writes down, U'medrash agoda yei sharbe, there is a lot of medrash agoda, then he doesn't understand why does Rashi bring this interpretation, since clearly this interpretation is not the normal way that the Pasuk is read, because according to what Rashi says, it's written the first time Sukkos, which means that when it's written that Yaakov traveled Sukkos or to Sukkos, that is the first time that is meant summer as a hut. And then Vayiven lo bais, and he built himself a house that's supposed to be winter. Ulemikneu also Sukkos, and to his cattle or to his livestock he made a hut. Therefore we know that there was 2 times Sukkos, meaning that Yaakov was there 2 summers. The Mizrahi says that the normal interpretation is that Sukkos is the name of a place, but it's not meant that he made a sukkah in the beginning. And then the Mizrahi says that it's written, Va'even lo ibayis, that he built himself a house, al mikneos a Sukkos, and to his cattle he make huts. It implies that it was at the same time, meaning at the same time in the winter, when he built a house for himself, he also built Sukkos for his cattle, huts for his cattle. Therefore, the Mizrahi says that he does not understand why Rashi felt compelled to bring this Gemara and this Medrash here, that Yaakov was in that place for 18 months. The Maharsha in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin 17a, where the Gemara brings this idea that Yaakov was there for 18 months, says, as a matter of fact, that we learned that he was there 80 months, not from what is written in the beginning, that Yaakov traveled to Sukkos or to Sukkos, because clearly that is meant as a name of a place. The Marshal says, we know that he was there 2 summers, because Sukkos is in the plural. It could have been written Sukkot in the singular. It's written Sukkos in the plural. That implies that he made for his cattle 2 times huts, which could only be because he was there 2 summers. And since it's written Va'ivan Loibais that he built a house, that means that he was there 2 summers and 1 winter, which is 18 months. That fits with the Gemara. But Rashi clearly says here that the first Sukkos means summer, and the only first Sukkos that we have is the verse that is written that Yaakov traveled to Sukkos. Then we have to understand what compelled Rashi to interpret it this way. The Maharal in Gurari explains that Rashi was bothered by the fact that it's written that Uli Mikneu also Sukkos, that for his cattle he made Sukkos, Al Kain Koroshem Hamokoim Sukkos. Because of that, he called the name of the place Sukkos. The Maharal says that it is not normal for a person to call a place by what happened to his animals. He should have called the place by his house because what happened to him. And if you are going to tell me that he doesn't call the name by his house because everybody builds a house and obviously nobody calls the name of the place house, the Maharal says that everybody builds shelter for the animals, then why would Yaakov call the name of the place Sukkos huts when everybody builds for the animals huts? Therefore, the Maharal says that the reason that is called Sukkos is because Yaakov Avinu was there 2 times in Sukkos in huts, and it's called for what happened to Yaakov and his family, but not what happened to the animals. But he says, but the Pasuk clearly says that Ulamikneu also Sukkos, that he made for the cattle Sukkos, and it doesn't mention that he made Sukkos for the people. The Maharal answers that what happened is that in the first summer he built huts for him and for the animals, and then came winter, he built a house for himself, and then it came again summer, he already had the original huts where he was there the last summer, but since the animals multiplied with such a way, he was required to add additional huts for the animals. And that is what the Torah wants you to know, that Hashem gave a blessing to the remaining animals of Yaakov, and they multiplied so much that he was required to build extra Sukkos in the second summer. But when he called Sukkos, he didn't call Sukkos because of the animals, he called Sukkos because of himself. Therefore, the Maharal says that when he called Sukkos, or the first Sukkos, it was summer, and therefore we know that there was 2 summers and then 1 winter. But the name was called not because of the animals, it was called because of where Yaakov stood, which he first went straight from his encounter from Esav, he went to Sukkos, he went to huts because it was summer. The Rachaim HaKodesh answers both questions of the Maharal, meaning that Maharal's questions, why is Yaakov naming the place for something that happened to the animals and not for something that happened to him? And if he's naming the place for something that happened, he should name the place Bais, because that is what happened to him. And in the same way that's normal to build a house for yourself, you build huts for the livestock, the Rachaim HaKodesh says that the custom at that time was not to do that. That this was a great chiddush, was a great new attitude, that you show compassion to your livestock and you build a hut for them. And could be, the Rachaim HaKodesh says, that this is the reason why he called the place Sukkos, huts, in honor for what happened to his livestock, because he wanted to publicize the fact that you have to show compassion to your livestock, and a way to publicize this fact is by calling the place in the name of Sukkos huts. Like that, everybody will learn that you are required to be compassionate to your livestock. The Ramban is bothered by another fact. The Ramban is bothered, why is it written, Va'iven loy bais, that Yaakov Avinu built a house. Everybody who goes somewhere builds himself a house. The Ramban gives two answers. The Ramban says that it could be that there was no town, therefore Yaakov was required to build a house and sukkos and huts. Or it could be that Yaakov was still afraid of Esav, therefore Yaakov built himself a very strong house to protect him against Esav. Meaning that even though Esav went in his own way, Yaakov Avinu was still wary of Esav, therefore he built himself a big, strong house, a real bais, in order to protect himself from Esav. We know, according to the Gemara, that Yaakov Avinu did not see Yitzchak for 22 years, therefore Yaakov Avinu was punished that he didn't see Yosef, his favorite son, for 22 years. And including in these 22 years are these 18 months that Yaakov stayed in Sukkos. Then we have to understand why in fact did Yaakov stay in Sukkos for 18 months? Why didn't Yaakov go straight to his father? Sefer Tiferes Sonnenson notes that only after he leaves Sukkos, then it's written in Pasuk number 18, Vayovo Yaakov Sholem, Yaakov came to Sholem, Ir Shechem, the city of Shechem, Asher Beretz Knan, that is in the land of Knan, Bevoi mi Padan Aram, when he's coming back from Padan Aram, Vayichan es Pnei Oir, and encamped before the city. There Rashi brings down what is the meaning of the word Sholem. Rashi brings from the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, 33b, Sholem Begifoi, that he was complete in his body, Chenisrape Mitzalosoi, that he became healed from his limping, meaning that after Yaakov fought the angel touched his sciatic nerve, and his sciatic nerve dislocated, and Yaakov started limping. Now, when he's coming to the city of Shechem, he is complete from his limping, he is healed from his limping. Sholem b'mamoinoi, he was complete with his money, shole chosa klom mikol oise doyen, that he was not missing anything from all the gifts that he sent to Esav, meaning that even though Yaakov sent to Esav such huge gifts of cattle and animals, nonetheless, Hashem replenished all his wealth, and now he was complete with his wealth in the same way that he was before he gave the gift to Esav. Sholem b'teirosoi, that he was complete with his Torah, shele shochach talmudo mibeis Lavan, that he did not forget his learning in the house of Lavan. As a matter of fact, the Kli Yoker writes down that the word Sholem are comprised of Shin, Lamed, and Mem, and those are the initials of the three words She'er, which means body, meaning that he was complete with his body. The Lamed is Limud, that he was complete with his learning. And the Mem is Mamoin, that he was complete with his money. Meaning that Yaakov came Shalem. Shalem represents completeness of the Shin, Lamed, Mem, which represents the body, the money, and his learning. And Sefer Tiferes Yonison from Rabbi Yonison Eibshitz brings also the Medrash Rabbe in Parsha and Ches, Simon Tezayin, where the Medrash Rabbe there says that while Yaakov was in Sukkos, he was still sending gifts to Esav to appease him, because Yaakov was still afraid of Esav, which fits very well with the Ramban that we mentioned previously, that Yaakov built a house because he was afraid of Esav. And Sefer Tiferes Yonason continues and says that if you think about it, there are two puzzles regarding the encounter of Yaakov and Esav. Meaning that Esav sees Yaakov, and all of a sudden Esav has a complete change of heart, and he changes from hatred that he wants to kiss Yaakov now. Why is that so? Why did Esav had such a change of heart? And another question that he asks is that we have the story that Yaakov was fighting with the angel. And according to the Yalkut Shimoni, in Remes Tov Reish Membeis, where the Yalkut Shimoni there says, the Pasuk says, Va'izrach lo yashemesh, that the sun shone to him, Vitzoleya, and he is limping, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMichal, Hashem asked Michal, Lomo Siso Ken Livni V'Choyri, why did you do that to my firstborn son, meaning, why do you do that to Yaakov Avinu? Meaning, according to the Medrash, the angel that was fighting Yaakov Avinu was the angel Michal, and he is the angel that dislocated his hip. Omar Lefonav, Michal answers, Likvot Chol Sisi, I did this because of your honor. He did this in order to bring honor to Hashem. Omar Le, Hashem tells Michal, because you did that for me and in order to protect Yaakov, Me'achshof, from now on, Tehei Memune Olav, you'll be in charge of him, meaning on charge of Yaakov, Val Zaroi, and on Yaakov's children, Atzof Kol Adoiris, until the end of all generations, meaning that from then on, Michal is going to be almost as a guardian angel for the Jewish people, that he is there to protect the Jewish people. Hadol Dechsiv, that's why it's written in Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, Ki'im Michal Sarachem, that Michal, your minister, meaning that Michal becomes our minister, our guardian angel. So we see that according to the Medrash, Michal is the one that crippled Yaakov. There is many different reasons why Michal will cripple Yaakov, and once we brought the opinion of the Rashbam, but Sefer Tiferes Yonason is wondering why specifically right before the encounter with Esav comes the angel Michal and cripples Yaakov. Sefer Tiferes Yonason answers this question first based on the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis 13b. There the Gemara writes down what is written on Megillah chapter 3 verse number 1. Achar advarim oile, after those things, meaning after the king Achashverosh made Esther his queen, Gidel HaMelech Achashverosh, the king Achashverosh promoted as Haman bar Amdasa Agagi, Haman the son of Amdasa Agagi, and he made him a viceroy. So there the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Rava says, what does it mean after these things? Achar Shebara Kodesh Baruch Hu Refua Lamaka, after Hashem created a remedy for the affliction, then Hashem promoted Haman. The Omar Ishlokish says, "In a Kodesh Baruch Hu makas Israel, Hashem does not smite the Jewish people. In other words, Hashem does not cause hurt to the Jewish people. Elim ken boir elam refuah tchila, only if he first gives them a healing." And Ishlokish brings a pasuk to this effect, meaning that only after Esther was in place and Esther is going to be the salvation of the people, then Hashem sent them the trouble, which is Haman. Therefore, Sefer Tiferes Yonason explains that we know that Esav is upset at Yaakov, that Yaakov bought from him the right of being firstborn, which that involves certain wealth, and that involves also the service of the temple. And because Yaakov bought from him the Bechoira, the firstbornship, then Esav is upset that Yaakov impersonated him and received the blessing that Yitzchak was going to give to Esav. Therefore, when Yaakov is going to appease Esav, Yaakov says in chapter 32, verse number 6, "Vayehi li shor v'chamor," that I had in lavons an axe and a donkey. Rashi brings down that Abba Omarli, my father gave me a blessing, mitala shomayim mishma neoretz, that I will receive from the dew of heaven and the fat of the land. That is on Bereshis chapter 27, verse 28. Zu, what I received, axe and donkey, ein eloi min hashamayim v'eloi min haaretz, it's not from the dew of heaven and has nothing to do with the fat of the land. Therefore, Yaakov already appeased Esav regarding the blessings. All Yaakov needs to do now is appease Esav for the fact that Yaakov bought from him the right to being firstborn. Being firstborn involves two things. One, it involves wealth, and the second, it involves the service to the temple. That the service to the temple is done by the firstborn, therefore Yaakov wanted to be firstborn. Regarding the wealth, Yaakov already appeased Esav by giving him this huge gift that he sent. The beginning of the parsha tells how big of a gift Yaakov sends Esav. All it remains now is to appease Esav regarding the service of the temple. To do that, it's seemingly impossible. Therefore, the angel Michal comes down on the night before he's supposed to meet Esav, and it dislocates Yaakov's hip. And by dislocating Yaakov's hip, Yaakov has a limp, and somebody who has a limp, who has a mum, is disqualified from doing the service of the temple, cannot do the service anymore. Therefore, when Esav sees Yaakov and Yaakov has a limp, now Esav doesn't have to worry about the blessings and he doesn't have to worry about the right of being firstborn, because the right involved that Yaakov is going to do the service in front of Hashem in the altar, but Yaakov can do the service, the Mizbeach, to Hashem, because Yaakov now has a limp. Therefore, when Esav sees Yaakov, Esav kisses Yaakov because there is nothing to be upset anymore, because Yaakov's blessings from Yitzchak and Yaakov's buying of the firstborn did not amount to anything. Therefore, he kisses him. And therefore, specifically, the night before Yaakov is to meet Esav, the angel Michal, which is the guardian angel of the Jews, comes and dislocates Yaakov's hip. Like that, Yaakov is disqualified from doing the avodah. Like that, Esav is not jealous. That is what Sefer Tiferes Yonason explains, that Hashem put the refuah before the makah, the healing, which is the dislocating of the hip of Yaakov, before having the trouble of meeting Esav, because that is what caused the appeasement of Esav. And therefore, says Sefer Tiferes Yonason, this 18 months that Yaakov was in Sukkos, Yaakov was afraid of Esav, was still sending Esav gifts, as the Medrash says, and he was healing from his limp until Esav became appeased. Once Esav became appeased, then Yaakov went to Shalem. He became complete that he was healed from his limp, and therefore only afterwards, it's written in Pasuk number 20, Vayatsev Shom Mizbeach, and he set up an altar, meaning that he did altar to Hashem, only after he got to Shechem. Why didn't he do it all the 18 months that he was in Sukkos? The answer is that the reason he didn't do it is because he still had the limp, and since he had the limp, he was disqualified from doing the service to Hashem. Sefer Shevet Miyuda says that during this year and a half that Yaakov was in Sukkos, Yaakov was reviewing his learning, that he was going over whatever he learned, because since he's going now towards Israel and he's going to learn in a different level, because Avir the Eretz Yisrael Machkim, because the air of Eretz Yisrael makes you smarter. Therefore, Yaakov, you know, wanted to review his learning before he came into Eretz Yisrael. And also, since he is going to meet his father Yitzchak, he wanted to make sure that his learning is up to par. And he translates the word Va'iven Loi Bais, that he was building a house, not from the language building, Va'iven from the language Bina, from the language understanding and deep wisdom, meaning that Yaakov Avinu was learning during this year and a half. And even though Sefer Shevet Miyuda doesn't bring this, but we have a proof to this idea from the Targum Yonason ben Uziel. Targum Yonason ben Uziel says on the Pasuk that Yaakov went to Sukkos and built a house. Targum Yonason ben Uziel says, Yaakov not al Sukkos, Yaakov traveled to Sukkos, Veisakev Tamon Treser Yarcheshata, and he stayed there 12 months, Uvnolei Beimedrasha, and he built himself a base medrash. Meaning the Targum Yonason ben Uziel translates, Vayiven Loi Bais, that he built a house, that Yaakov Avinu built a house of learning. The same way the Sefer Shevet Miyuda says that Yaakov Avinu spent that time learning. We have to note, though, the Targum Yonason ben Uziel says that Yaakov Avinu was only there 12 months and not 18 months, as the Gemara says. Sefer Shevet Miyuda gives another reason why Yaakov Avinu stayed outside of Eretz Yisrael, stayed in Sukkos for 18 months, and he explains that since he knew about the idea of the Ramban, which the Ramban brings in Vayikra, chapter 18, verse 25, where the Ramban says that the Avos, our forefathers, kept Torah before it was given in Eretz Yisrael, but not Chutz Laretz, but not outside of Eretz Yisrael. That is how the Ramban explains that Yaakov was able to marry two sisters, which is illegal while both are alive. And the Ramban explains that even though our forefathers kept Torah, but they only kept Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and since Yaakov Avinu had married these sisters outside of Eretz Yisrael, therefore it was okay. And the Ramban explains that this is the reason why Rachel died as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Shevet Miud explains that Yaakov Avinu understood that, and Yaakov Avinu knew that if he goes into Eretz Yisrael, Rachel Imenu will die. And Yaakov Avinu also knew that Rachel Imenu was destined to be the mother of two tribes, and yet only one is born, because only Yosef was born, Binyamin wasn't born yet. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu delayed the going to Israel until he knew for sure that Rachel Imenu was pregnant. Once Rachel Imenu was pregnant, then Yaakov Avinu felt that it's safe to go into Israel. And as a matter of fact, the Ramban says that the reason that Rachel Imenu died and was buried in Eretz Yisrael was only because of her merit, that she merited to go into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore at childbirth, Binyamin is born. According to this, we could explain that Vayiven Loi Bais, that he built himself a house, meaning that he made sure that his house is complete, that all the 12 tribes are going to be there. The reason that he stayed a year and a half outside is in order to make sure that he'll have all the 12 tribes. And his house is now complete. Rav Binyamin Peshishchin explains this pasuk Va'iven Loi Bais, that he built himself a house based on the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Peiches Medalev 88a. The Gemara there says, Va'omar Rabbelazar says, Ma'i Dichsif, what is the meaning of the pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 2, verse number 3? V'holchu Amim Rabim, and many people will go, V'omru, and they'll say, Lechu V'nale L'har Hashem, let us go up to the mountain of Hashem, El Beis Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Jacob. The Gemara asks, Elokei Yaakov, V'loi Elokei Avraham V'Yitzchok, the house of the God of Jacob, but not the God of Avraham and Yitzchok. The Gemara answers, Eloloike Avraham, not like Avraham, Shekosov Boihar, that he called the place of the Beis HaMikdosh a mountain. And the Gemara gives a pasuk to that effect, Veloike Yitzchok, and not like Yitzchok, Shekosov Boisode, that he called the place of the Beis HaMikdosh a field. And the Gemara brings also a pasuk to that effect, Eloke Yaakov Shekoroi Bais, only like Yaakov that called the place of Beis HaMikdosh a house. Therefore, the meaning of the pasuk in Yeshaya means that the people will say that they will come up to the house of Hashem, which is the God of Jacob, because Jacob is the one that called the place of the Beis HaMikdosh a house. So we see that Yaakov Avinu called the place of the Beis HaMikdosh a house. The Maharsha, based on the Psikta Rabt 39.3, explains that the three descriptions have to do with the three Beis HaMikdashes, the two temples that were destroyed, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt b'mhero b'yameinu, meaning that Avraham Avinu called the first Beis HaMikdash a mountain because the Shechina, the Divine Presence of Hashem, watched over the Beis HaMikdash like a guard watching from on top of a mountain, which is a very strategic place and he could oversee in a greater way. This protection, though, was not permanent because the first Beis HaMikdash was eventually destroyed. Yitzchok called it a field, and that signifies the second Beis HaMikdash, which merited the lesser degree of the Shechina, of the Divine Presence, but also did not last. It was eventually destroyed. Yaakov Avinu called the third Beis HaMikdash a house because a house will enjoy divine protection and will never be destroyed. Therefore, he called it a house because the house is going to be permanent. But Rav Binyamin Peshishcha gives a different interpretation. Rav Binyamin Peshishcha explains that Avraham Avinu wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be a har, wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be a mountain, which is open to everybody. Anybody could come and worship, anybody could come and partake. Yitzchak already limited that access and called it a soda field, that even though a field has a private owner, nonetheless, there are people who could still pass by the field to go to different places. Therefore, the Beis HaMikdash belongs to the Jewish people, but nonetheless, there are people who could come and partake of that Beis HaMikdash. But Yaakov Avinu called it a house. A house is a private domain that only the Jewish people have access to that house. That is why Yaakov Avinu called the Beis HaMikdash a house. And he says that after the encounter of Esav, meaning after Esav asked that we should go together, and Yaakov Avinu separated from Esav, that he decided to go on his own way by himself with his family, then Yaakov Avinu reiterated that the Jewish people are going to be separate from anybody else, that nobody else is going to have access to the temple of the Jewish people. Therefore, after Yaakov Avinu separated from Esav, the pasuk says, "Va'even loy bais," that he built for himself a house, meaning now the Beis HaMikdash is only for the Jewish people. I wanted to add that since Avraham Avinu is called on Bereishis chapter 17, verse number 5, Av Hamon Goyim, that he is the father of a multitude of nations, therefore Avraham Avinu called the Beis HaMikdash Har, a mountain, which is available to everyone, like Rav Bunim Peshitzchi explains. And the same thing for Yitzchak. Since Yitzchak knew that Hashem told Avraham Avinu in Bereishis chapter 21, verse number 12, Ki be Yitzchak ikara lechazara, that through Yitzchak will the offsprings be considered yours. The Gemara in Adorim says, Be Yitzchak, in Yitzchak, veloi kol Yitzchak, but not all Yitzchak is going to be considered your offsprings, meaning there is going to be a part of Yitzchak that is not going to be considered the offsprings of Avraham Avinu because they are not going to be righteous. Therefore, Yitzchak knew that he is going to have some children that aren't going to be good, but nonetheless, as we explained in last week's Parshas CD, he wanted those children to be able to have a chance to eventually convert. Therefore, Yitzchak called the place of the Beis HaMikdash Soda, as Rabbeinu Peshitzchi explains. A soda is a place where it's owned by a private person, meaning the Beis HaMikdash belongs to the Jewish people, but other people sometimes pass by it. Therefore, other people sometimes will convert, meaning the children of Esav will eventually convert, and they'll be able to come into the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Yitzchak called the place soda a field. But Yaakov Avinu, since Yaakov Avinu had mitosu shleima, that his bed was complete, that he had no bad children, all his children are the 12 tribes and all of them are righteous. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu called it Bais as a house. And therefore, specifically after Esav offered to go together with Yaakov, and Yaakov made sure that they go their own ways, specifically then, Va'even Loi Bais, Yaakov Avinu showed that he wants this Beis HaMikdash to be a Bais, to be a place exclusive for the Jewish people, as Rabbeinu Peshitzchi explained. I wanted to explain this idea based on what Rashi brings down on Parshas Chukas, and also based on a Zohar regarding Sukkas, meaning that Rashi in Parshas Chukas on chapter 20, verse number 23, where there the Torah starts discussing the death of Aharon, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'al Aharon." Hashem says to Moshe and Aharon, "In Hoyru Har, al Gvul Eretz Edom Loimer, in the border of Edom, saying." And then Hashem proceeds to tell Aharon that Aharon should go up the mountain, that he will die. Rashi explains why is the pasuk saying al Gvul Eretz Edom, on the border of the land of Edom. Rashi says, "Magid, it teaches you, Shemipreshin is Chabru Kan liskorev leEsav Rasha." That because they had some connection here with the wicked Esav, by coming close to his descendants, Nifritsu Maseyem, their undertakings were broken, meaning they were unsuccessful, V'chosru Atzadik Azeh, and they lost the righteous Aharon. Meaning simply that because they got close to the evil Esav, therefore Aharon had to die, because the death of Tzadikim are a kapora, are atonement, as the Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Kof Ches Omed Aleph says, 28a, and we needed that atonement to expunge our corruption through the encounter of Esav. V'chen Anavi Oymer Yoshafat, the prophet tells the righteous king Yoshafat in Divrei Hayomim number 2, chapter 20, verse number 37, that Beis Chabercho in Machaziyahu, that because you are joined together with Ahaziyahu, which was a wicked king of Israel, Porasa Hashem es Masecha, Hashem broke your undertakings, meaning he made you unsuccessful. So we see that if you get together with a Rasha, with an evil person, your undertakings are going to be unsuccessful. And the idea is that since you are in close contact with an evil person, that corrupts you, that influences you in a negative way, and therefore your endeavors, whatever you do, is going to not be successful. And therefore, in the case of the Jewish people, when they got close to Edom, Edom's influence was such a bad influence that there was no choice. The only way they could be redeemed is by Aharon dying. And we also know the famous Zohar in Parshas Emor, where the Zohar says that when we go to a sukkah, we are going in Tzilu de Memnusa, we are going on the shadow of Hashem, we are under His direct supervision, and we are under His direct protection. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu, after his encounter with Esav, and specifically after Esav kissed him, after he got so close to him, Yaakov Avinu knew that he needs an extra source of holiness, an extra source of protection to counteract Esav's corrupting influence. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu decided that he is going to go to Sukkoisa, he is going to go to a sukkah, he is going to go under the auspices of Hashem, because he needs the extra protection, he needs the extra spirituality that is given in a sukkah. Therefore, he went to Sukkoisa, he went to sukkahs. And as proof that when you are connected to corrupting influence, you should take refuge in a sukkah, we have, when the Jewish people left Egypt, in Parshas Boy, chapter 12, verse number 37, it's written there, Vayisu bnei Yisroel miRamses, that the Jewish people left Ramses, and they went Sukkoisa, to a sukkah. Why did they go to a sukkah? Because after being in Egypt 210 years, and being so corrupted that they almost were beyond redemption, they decided that now that they are redeemed and they have a little glimpse of holiness, then they will go quickly to a sukkah to regain that holiness and to try to regain the spirituality that was lost during all the years that they were in Egypt. Therefore, right after they were redeemed, the first place that they decide to go is Sukkoisa, to a sukkah. And maybe that is the deeper meaning of what's written in Parshas Emor, chapter 23, verse number 43, that we have to sit in the sukkah, Leman yedu dorei seichem, so your generations may know, ki bas sukkois oishavtes bnei Israel, that I put the Jewish people on sukkois, boitzi oisam me eretz Mitzrayim, when I took them out of Egypt. Maybe the idea is that we have to know that we have to go to a sukkah in order to regain spirituality, in the same way that when we left Egypt, we went from Ramses to sukkah to regain our spirituality, meaning that we have to go to a sukkah because we have to know that the sukkah is Tzilu de Memnusa, is the shadow of Hashem, and there we are able to connect in a higher way with Hashem. And according to this, we could explain what is written in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 14, and verse number 17. After the Jewish people came back to Israel, meaning after the exile of 70 years that we were in Babylonia, and we are now back in Israel, it's written, Vayom Hasheni, the second day, Nesvu Roshei Avos L'chol Ha'am, that the heads of the families, for all the families, the Kohanim and the Levim, gathered to Ezra the scribe, Ulehaskil El Divrei Torah, and to deep understand in the words of the Torah. Then the pasuk says, "Va'imtzu kosuv ba'Torah." They found written the Torah. Asher tzivu Hashem bayad Moshe, the Hashem commanded through Moshe, Asher Yeshu bnei Yisrael basukois, that the Jewish people should dwell in Sukkois, bechag in the holiday, bechodesh Hashvi in the seventh month. And the Mefarshim are bothered why you need to have people coming together lahaskil el divrei Torah, to deeply understand the words of Torah. Why is that necessary? It's clearly written in the Torah in Parshas Emor, as we said, that the Jewish people are required to dwell on Sukkos. Why do they need to have lahaskil, which means that you need to use seichel, you need to use your brains for the words of Torah? Anybody could take a Sefer Torah and read it. Furthermore, the pasuk writes down in pasuk number 17, Vayasu kol ha'kol ha'shavim min ha'shvi Sukkos, that all the people who came back from the captivity did Sukkos, Vayeshu basukkos, and they dwelled in Sukkos, Ki lo yasu imei Yeshua binun kein, because they didn't do from the days of Yeshua, so Bnei Israel, the Jewish people, Ad hayom ahu, until that day, Vatehi simcha gadoila, me'od, it was a great happiness. The first question that we are going to ask is, why is it written that all the people who came back from captivity did Sukkos? Clearly, all the people that are here now are the people who came back from captivity. Why is the prophet restating it? Why is that important? And the second question is the question that the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Lamed Beis Amed Beis asks, 32b, what does the Pasuk mean to say that they didn't do Sukkos from the days of Yeshua Binun until that day? How is it possible that David HaMelech came and didn't do Sukkos, and all the generations previously didn't do Sukkos until Ezra came and did a Sukkah? According to what I just said, we could answer this Gemara very easily. We could say that the people, after they came back from the captivity, they realized that they need extra holiness, and therefore they decided they are going to send the leaders of each family to go to Ezra Sofer to find out what they could do in order to capture extra holiness, in order to get rid of all the influence that they had during the 70 years of captivity. Ezra Sofer was able to look at the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they found written that if you sit in the sukkah, and then it's written, L'manyeidu doreisechem, so you should know, ki basukkos oishavti es bnei Yisrael, boitzii oisom meretz Mitzrayim, that I put the Jewish people in sukkah after they came out of Egypt, meaning right after they left Ramses, I made them go in sukkah, because they lost their spirituality when they were in Egypt, and the only way to regain that spirituality and get rid of the impurities of Egypt is by going in sukkahs. Then they were able to haskil, they were able to understand the holiness of sukkah, that holiness brings back all the holiness you lost during the 210 years of Egypt. Therefore, they understood that they have to do a sukkah the same way. Therefore, the pasuk writes down that all the people who came back from the captivity did sukkahs, because since they were in captivity, they were influenced by the other nations, they were influenced by the people that were around them. They needed to have the sukkah in order to get back that holiness. Therefore, it's written that all the people that came back from the captivity, they did sukkahs, and they dwelt in sukkahs, because they didn't do this from the days of Yeshua Binun. Meaning, from the days of Yeshua Binun, there was never a need to do a sukkah for that purpose. Sukkah was normally the way that you sit in a sukkah, like we do every year. But now that they came back from the captivity, and they were so badly influenced from the place that they were, from Babylonia, they needed to have sukkah in order to regain their connection to Hashem, to regain the holiness that they lost, and they didn't have that from the days of Yeshua Binun. Therefore, after they were able to reconnect with Hashem, after they were able to sit in Tzilut de Memnuta, then Vatehi Simcha Gadola Me'od, they became very happy that they were able to reconnect with Hashem. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in this week that we're reading about Va'even Lo Bayis, that Yaakov Avinu built a house, and as the Marsha explains, that's referring to the third Beis HaMikdash, that we should have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mheiro b'yomeinu, amen.